Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
6:11 on a Friday morning. Big build-up to the weekend. Roo, what's making news around the world?
Oh, Channel 10, who have had the big bash. It come into Australia and it's been a massive success for them. Are making a play for the Test cricket now that Channel 9 are thinking twice about whether they pay the big money that they have to get the rights. But Channel 10 themselves are in an interesting financial position.
We spoke yesterday about the fact that Channel 9 lose $40 million a year just on the cricket alone.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't make money.
No, it doesn't make money. But Channel 10, they've just reported on their last 6 months' profit loss. They've lost $232 million in 6 months.
Oh, we'll go and get the cricket then.
Yeah.
Go and pay over the odds.
Go and get cricket that didn't work for Channel 9.
Yeah.
But... big part of that, majority of that's a write down in their asset value, so it's not, you know, just money that's going out the window.
Mm.
Still an interesting financial position. You said it a while ago, Dits, and we laughed at you. You said free-to-air TV is stuffed and normal TV is stuffed. Well, it's
heading that way, I think.
It is heading that way. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen there. But we could be watching the Test cricket on Channel 10 in the future coming up. Maybe we can ask James Brayshaw later on, who works for Channel 9.
He used to.
Used to.
Yeah.
Has he jumped ship?
No, he's not working
for cricket
anyone.
As well?
No, he's not. No, no.
Really?
Mm.
Mm.
They took him off for cricket last summer. That's what started all the hoo-ha. With him.
Why'd they take him off? Was that contract negotiations?
Yeah.
I know what happened with the footy show, but okay. All right, we won't ask James Brayshaw later on.
Yeah, don't go there.
Or he might give us a real headline. We might ask him.
I'd rather ask him.
When you do the cricket this summer on Channel 9, I'll just see what he says.
Yeah. I'd rather ask him that sort of around 6 o'clock in the evening when he'd had a few. I think you get a real good answer then.
All right, we'll do that later. Jackson Trengove, this was had his first chat to anyone since he got in a bit of a blow down at the Moseley on the weekend.
It's one of those situations you obviously don't want to, you know, get yourself in, and it's all been reported what obviously went down. To my defence, I was thinking that I was doing the right thing and get myself in a situation which. You know, it wasn't late at night, and it was just one of those things that happens. But you don't wish anyone would get into that situation, because it's not nice to be in. I've sort of questioned myself a little bit about what I did and whether I did the right thing. And I've got the club support behind me about what I did was 100% correct. And as you just mentioned, if it was my little daughter, when she's grown up in the same situation, I'd hope someone would have. Done the same thing as what I have, I think.
So that was on the rush hour yesterday afternoon. As you said, Roo, the first time he'd spoken about it. What do you do in those situations?
I'd do exactly what he did.
Mm.
From what I hear, he just said, is everything okay if two people are arguing? And that's what the players are taught now, with what they get, the education they go through at footy clubs. So I do think he's done the right thing, as long as he's not sticking his nose in too far and he's done it in the right way and all that.
Mm.
So, and as he said, he'd do it again.
Yeah.
So obviously you don't want to cop a shiner, and you don't want your good players getting a broken jaw or broken cheekbone or concussion or anything from doing that. So it's just one of those things in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes wrong.
Now, we often talk about Bali on this show because we know that so many people listening right now would have gone to Bali this year for a holiday or will be going.
Yep.
I'm going next holidays. My wife and I are heading up to Bali.
Yep.
So we know a lot of people go up there, but there are some dangers.
Are there ever? Riding motorbikes. All of a sudden, everyone thinks they're Evel Knievel when they go to Bali on the scooters, whether they're sober or not. Doesn't really matter. Riding scooters is more dangerous than what most people think.
If you've never done it.
If you've never done it.
Yeah. And you're on roads up there where there are no rules.
It's very
busy.
Busy
as anything.
Busy as anything. Busy roads. You've ridden it for the first time. You might be a bit dusty. But young Australian, a 26-year-old girl, has died yesterday.
And she's not the first. We've heard of a couple of these this year.
But let alone the deaths, what about the near accidents or the broken bones, the skin that's taken off up there?
Mm.
It's crazy stuff. But Bali is a dangerous place, a great place to go for a holiday, absolutely awesome place,
as
good value for money.
As opposed to, of course, when I rode my scooter here around the streets of Adelaide with my helmet and doing 50 k's an hour in the left lane.
Do you reckon you could perhaps, you know, when you go to Bali, come and see Dits for a little,
over school.
Just have a little schooling.
Oh, Dits
about scooter riding.
Yeah, I like it.
You could sit on the back and put your arms around them. And,
oh, now you're talking. Because I'm quite light. Those scooters.
Because you're always dinking.
You won't even notice. You won't notice me on the back, honestly.
That's the other thing. You go to Bali and ride a scooter, and you always have other two or three people on there.
Exactly. You have to come on, love. Hang on tight, love, because it'd be safer for you.
Dits a scooter riding lessons. That could happen. I can see that.
Just grab my love handles there and just hang on. There you go. That'll work.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. That's what's making news around the world.
Lawrence Mooney next.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, let's get our favourite bloke on. Lawrence Mooney, Moonman, good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning to you, Roo. It's a big Friday.
Isn't
it? We are looking forward to a huge weekend.
Yes, it's going to be a huge weekend.
You were spotted here on Anzac Day.
What were you doing?
I snuck into town because, as I've told you, I bought myself a little car and I was picking it up in Adelaide to drive it home. So Tuesday night, flew into town, and it was the first time I've been in town since the end of Fringe. So what I did something quite strange, not what you're thinking, something else. I'm a bit of a nostalgic kind of a guy. So I went down to the Garden of Unearthly Delights to see it when it's not the Garden of Unearthly Delights.
Pretty boring, isn't it? Right.
We'd have a chat to a possum or something.
Catalapina Park. And all the ghosts are there, you know, the ghosts of Bogan throwing balls at toys, and all the laughter and the roasting pork and my money going to the promoter, and you know, it was
only
all
40%.
But it's a massive site, and it was really interesting to see. So I wanted to go right to the back to where my venue was, the factory.
You didn't start talking to yourself, did you?
I actually thought you're a man alone in a park after dark.
Telling jokes.
There's a couple of reasons to throw you in jail for a start. But there's a work site right at the back there. They're digging a big hole, I believe, for your tram/bus hybrid train transport system.
We're all looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going to save. How far is that?
It's going to save 90 seconds off the trip into work, apparently.
160 million of that. Very well spent.
It's money very well spent. Maybe some of the money that went to the carnies for knocked down the milk bottles, because I don't know whether you love those carny competitions, but I do. So
it's a carny competition.
You know, where you try and throw a ball
at the milk
bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
To win a giant gorilla.
It's actually like the Field of Dreams, you visiting there, isn't it? It's like an ex-footballer going to the MCG and just wandering around saying, you know, when I played here in 1958 in the grand final. And,
yeah,
you know,
it was
similar.
A little bit like that, except there's a tractor and a load of gravel where my Field of Dreams were. And there is a public toilet in that park too. And I did hear some unnatural sounds coming from
there. Bit of action going on
in there.
It
sounded like a possum.
Would have been. Hey, how was the drive home then anyway?
Well, the drive home, how long is it from Adelaide to Melbourne?
On your own, it's a long trip.
Unbelievable. I had to stop on a lot of the trip because there's all these signs now saying, you know, if you're yawning, pull over. It's like, well, I wasn't yawning until I saw the sign. Yeah. Are you yawning? You say yawning to someone, it's like, I feel like a little bit of a lie down, you know. Drowsy drivers die. So micro sleep will kill. So I stopped a lot of the way. Canalpin for the most amazing chocolate eclair I've ever had, and to see the big paintings on the silo.
Yes.
Keith. Border town. It was pretty grueling, but I made it home alive with the MG.
Yeah.
Flash Harry.
That's right. It's going to be a hole in the road into which I pour money. There's some members of my family on the in-law side saying, are you really sure about this buy as a family man? It's like, it'll be fine. Who needs airbags and child restraint?
Didn't have them in the old days. Hey, what's happening on the weekend? You are coming over to watch the Tigers.
Well, it's here, Roo.
Yes.
And I've actually, since the end of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, been on a self-imposed / Mrs. Mooney-imposed rehab. So by the time I get over there, I'll be 5 days off the booze.
Shivers, you'll be thirsty.
Just to give you an idea of what you're in for, I'm going to be the designated driver, responsible one here. You will meet my wife on the weekend and see exactly what I'm talking about. You know, Richmond supporters, how feral they go. But after a couple of Coopers or whatever the desired ale is. So what do you reckon?
Is she a good loser? That's what I want to know. I want to know if I need to see it before the game or after the game.
Oh, Roo, I'll tell you what, do a little bit of a before and after. Have a look at the demure, very charming woman that I fell in love with some years ago and the feral Richmond supporter I'm married to.
Are you bringing the father-in-law as well?
No, the father-in-law is a Collingwood supporter.
All right. And so who's coming? Just you and
so the... my wife... my brother and a mate of my brother's.
There's a lot of brother, a lot of blokes there. Your brother, what's your brother like? Is he a bit like you?
He's like Mrs. Mooney too. Very charming before a few beers at the game. They're Richmond supporters. I mean, really, right. It's like a sheltered workshop for people with acquired brain injuries, Richmond Football Club. Looking forward to it, and I believe your producer, the wonderful Alice Jay, is coming along as well.
Yeah, she'll
look after you.
She's turned into a socialite of Adelaide these days.
She's an A-lister.
Yeah, she's an A-lister.
It's an interesting time, Adelaide, after Fringe, though. There's a lot of ghosts wandering those streets.
Yeah. Everyone's broke.
Yeah.
So watch out, you're getting robbed.
All right, we look forward to seeing you, Moon Man.
I can't wait.
Good on you. There he is. Lawrence Mooney.
Triple M. Comware IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
This adds about 5 goals to us this weekend, Roo. Coming off halfback, Hamish Hartlett. Good morning, Hammer.
Hey, Ditso, Roo. How are you, boys?
Yeah, get streaming off halfback. Hit Dixon on the chest and bang.
That's right. He needs some half-decent delivery to full answer, the big fella.
Yeah, that's right. And you'll give it to him.
Couple of big changes. So you come in and Homsch. Right, now, we've missed you terribly, but Jack Homsch to me is a massive out. And I thought, in particular, the week against GWS, we really could have done with him.
Yeah, no doubt. They, particularly against GWS, with the quality of their tall forwards. You know, Brisbane have got some really exciting, talented young key forwards as well. So for Homsch to come back and just bolster us in defence is going to be great for us. And, you know, he's played, couldn't tell you how many games, but it's only probably 40, 50 games in his AFL career, but he's a genuine veteran, and we certainly feel a lot more comfortable.
Is he the
with him
leader of the back line? Is would he be, you know, considered as the number one man back there?
Probably the way he goes about it, the way he goes back with courage, impacts, you know, the aerial ball, uses the ball really well. He's very much a leader in the way he plays. Vocally, he's probably not the loudest guy you'll come across, but he's certainly improving in that area as well.
Mm. What's been happening with you? Just a couple of little niggles, or
round two was sick, so that was unfortunate. And then last Thursday we had our usual captain's run the day before the game, and just had a little niggle in my quad, which I wasn't really comfortable with. In my second year at the club, I missed 16 games with multiple quad injuries.
So, yeah, right.
So I wasn't real keen to risk this one until we found out exactly what was wrong with it. So I had a scan Monday. It was only very, very minor, and trained this week, and away we go.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
This isn't your department, but he's your teammate, Jackson Trengo. Now, you spoke on the rush hour last night. Let's just have a listen to Jacko first.
One of those situations you obviously don't want to, you know, get yourself in, and you know, it's all been reported what obviously went down. To my defence, I was thinking that I was doing the right thing and get myself in a situation which, you know, it wasn't late at night, and it was just one of those things that happens. But you know, you don't wish anyone would get into that situation, because it's not nice to be in. I've sort of questioned myself a little bit about you know, what I did and whether I did the right thing. And you know, I've got the club support behind me about what I did was, you know, 100% correct. And as you just mentioned, if it was my little daughter, you know, when she's grown up in the same situation, I'd hope someone would have, you know, done the same thing as what I have, I think.
So my question to you is, Hamish, so earlier in the year there was the Jarman Impey situation. Yep. So when Jackson arrives at training, he's got a black eye. Do you all get called in and told, look, you're going to read about this, you know, this is what we want to explain? Like, are you schooled up on it?
You know what, to be honest, I walked into the club Monday. I had my scan on my leg first, so I rolled in probably about half an hour later than what the other boys did, and we had a leadership meeting straight away, and boys were talking about Jacko. I said, what's going on? Mm. Like, what's Jacko done? What's happened? So, you know, Jacko did the right thing. He called Kenny and Chris Davies immediately, you know, Sunday morning to let them know what had happened.
About 1 o'clock. In the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning?
Not quite that early. I think he might have saved it for a few hours. Yeah, it happened about 12:30.
So he rang when he woke up, not when it happened.
Yeah, okay. The following morning.
Because it happened about 12:30 Saturday night, didn't it? Sunday morning.
Yep. So then that's when we got filled in on all the details. We spoke to Jacko and he told us exactly what had happened. And we make a decision from there as a leadership group. So
now, I don't want to incriminate anyone here. I'm trying, you know, I want to talk about this in the right way and respectfully. But so I might throw this to you, Roo, but my information is that he was hit three times. Now, he stands there. A bloke comes up and goes bang, bang, bang.
Yep.
And obviously caught him quite well. And Jackson makes the decision to stand there and not retaliate. I reckon that takes a big fella, a big man. Because and he walked away. Now, buddy old Roo, what would you have done in that situation?
Probably not that.
No.
But if you stick your nose, and if you go in to try and help, I guess you've got to be, you go in with a different frame of mind to if you're going into it for a different reason, I suppose. So he did the right thing, and I think he's right in saying that he did the right thing. So but that's why the club have let him off.
That's clearly the pressure you're under, though. You're out, you know, on the weekend, and someone hits you three times, and you as a player go, oh, well, I better walk away here. I mean, that's a big thing to do.
Oh, it's incredible from Jacko's point of view. He, I think what's happened is the guys sort of walked over and Jacko has sort of processed the situation as it's unfolded, and he's thought, all right, whatever happens, I honestly can't retaliate because, you know, it stains us as it stains him as an individual, us as a footy club, and, you know, there's no good to come out of it. So for him not to retaliate, not to hit back and cop it all on the chin and then sort of walk away and go home was phenomenal from my point of view.
Well, my advice, just my 2 cents worth, Roo, is in a few years' time when Jackson, if you're listening, when you retire, go and find this bloke and belt shit out of him, all right? Yeah. Anyway, more with Hamish in a moment. Hey, and Roo, I've got a bit of info. Hamish, Hammer, I'm a bit surprised. You're a bit of a mummy's boy.
We'll find out more
in just a moment.
National
Hamish
TV.
Joins us thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Triple M. Comwire IT, complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartland and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time. Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, Hammer's back in for the big game tomorrow at the Gabba against Brisbane. Hey, now, Hammer, a couple of weeks ago, we know you've had your quad, but you pulled out during a warm-up. Tell us that story. What, you got crooked, did you?
Yeah, basically wasn't feeling too flash. I think it was a Saturday game. Wasn't feeling too good in the morning, sort of tried to push through, but pulled out in a warm-up.
Did you have an upset tummy
or something? Yeah.
Well, we got to the bottom of this.
Yeah, just a bit of crook guts.
Have a listen to this.
Well, guess what we had in restaurant during the week? You know, that's, I think, about Friday night and last Saturday night, and I forgot.
Who'd you have in?
We had Hamish Hartlett in. Anyway, you come down the new JDB Golden
Moon
Dragon.
Hang on, Tommy.
He was laid out.
Hamish Hartlett pulled out during the warm-up yesterday.
What you'll say?
He was sick. When was he down your restaurant?
Either Friday or Saturday night.
Well, what did he have?
Well, he had wonton short soup, combination soup, and then I gave him some special Tommy Yabbies from up Murray.
I think you've had those Yabbies quite a few weeks, I think. It's time to throw them out.
Yeah, but okay, I see how that goes. I thought they get better with age, but you know, I hope it got all right.
No. Now, Hammer, you've got to be careful where you eat before a game.
Especially on Gurgis Street.
Yeah. obviously popped down to that new Thai restaurant.
What's it called?
The new Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Moon Rickshaw Dragon Moon Mandarin Inn.
That's the one.
Mate, and those
Roo and I go down there Fridays, yeah. No, we love a bit of yum cha down there, don't we, Roo?
Yeah.
Honestly.
So, Hammer, be careful in future.
Yeah, the soup was all right, but the yabbies, I'm telling you, boys, no good.
When you get yabbies in winter, Hamish, you got to realise you only catch yabbies in summer. So
they're not fresh.
Anyway.
Now, the other thing we've learned in recent days as well, we saw you yesterday doing the roof climb. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Just an opportunity came up through the footy club, you know, in conjunction with Mother's Day that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Got to shoot up to the roof, and we did a live cross with the Sunrise Weather crew up there. So, yeah, it was a good experience up there with Tommy Lynch and my mother.
We've got some special guests. I've got Tom Lynch, of course, from the Adelaide Crows. And I said to Hamish Hartlett from Port Power, we want you on top of the stadium. He said, yeah, if I could have my mum with me the whole time. So are you okay at the moment, Hamish?
Yeah, okay at the moment. I'm sensing some nervous vibes from mum.
Yeah.
So.
Carol, how are you feeling?
Pretty nervous, especially the leaning back things, like, freaking me out. But anyway, all good, Sam.
Carol, where do you normally sit? Where's your spot here at Adelaide Oval?
Well, Sam, naturally, I sit near the bar on the Riverside stand there. Yeah. So, absolutely fantastic.
And Hamish, is your mum a vocal supporter, or is she internally, enjoying the game?
No, I think as the game progresses, after she tips a few hard super drives in, she tends to get a touch more vocal than at the start of games. So.
Now, we saw the vision. You were leaning, because they get you to lean back. You have a harness on, but you were holding mum's hand the whole time.
Mate,
that was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, look.
Are you always a hand holder?
Not generally, no. But Sammy Mack suggested it, and... If you watch the vision and the audio together, you see my reluctance to actually do that. But mum's like, come on, I'll hold it. And I grab it, and I'm so spewing I did it.
Blame mum. It looked nice, actually, Hamish.
All good. I love the old girl to death, and she was just making sure I didn't flip over the back of the edge there.
It is actually very, very scary doing it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Give mum a plug. She's still down at Century, Real Estate.
Yeah, yep. Century 21 down at Glenelg there on Byron Street, just off Jetty Road. So for any of your real estate needs,
there you go.
Get down and she'll sort you out.
All right, let's talk about Brisbane for a minute or two. Now, did you watch their game last week? Because they were very good for a long time.
They were. You look at the quality of their midfield. Obviously, Stephen Martin's been one of the premier ruckmen of the competition for a long time now. And, you've got Zorko and Rockliffe and Beams and Rich and real quality around him. So that's where most games are won and lost. They're probably lacking a little bit of experience at either end of the ground, but you certainly can't take your foot off the pedal for too long against them, because they'll do some damage to you. So,
well, they were beating the Dogs at three-quarter time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Eric Hipwood up forward and, McGluggage and Louis Taylor, and they've got some real quality up there and got some good young guys down back. Harris Andrews, I've been loving his progress over the last couple of years.
Player.
He's been outstanding for them down back. So they've got some weapons to certainly worry us. For sure.
Well, good luck. Great to see you and Jack Holmes back in the side. And our only advice, stay away from Tommy Tai Chi.
Go on a Monday.
No worries. Good on you, boys.
Good on you, Hammer. Thanks Cheers. For coming. And he's off to the airport straight away to head up to Brisbane. He joins us thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, every now and then we get to interview, only people I could describe as special, high achievers, and this is one of them. I'm really looking forward to talking to this fella who I think it's fair to say might have been to hell and back, and he's on his way back, and he's making some great progress. And we're talking about our very own world champion from the world of BMX, Sam Willoughby. Sam, thanks so much for taking our call.
No worries. Thanks for the call.
Sam, can we just say first up, we've just seen some footage of you this morning back on a bike. I mean, this is unbelievable news. You're actually back pedaling away and getting a heap of strength back.
Yeah, I'm definitely starting to progress in the right direction. I mean, still a long way to go, but it's been a positive step for me. I started out on an electric stimulation bike, basically, that pretty much pedaled itself for me. And then slowly, as rehab's gone on and things have started progressing, we got me a spin bike and have put me up on there, and it's something that obviously my body was pretty used to prior to the injury, and it seems to have taken to it pretty well, and I'm actually able to sort of start the bike and keep it pedaling by myself, which was quite a big milestone for me in my recovery.
What is your goal? You want to walk at your wedding? Or?
Yeah, that's my goal. I mean, we're getting, Elise and I are getting married at the end of the year, and December 31st on New Year's Eve. And that's kind of my goal since the injury, was to be up on my feet and able to, walk her down the aisle and stand there and do the whole deal. So still a ways off that, but heading in the right direction. I'm able to stand now for short periods and just constantly. It's one of those injuries that there really is no structured recovery program to come back. It's everyone's so different with this injury, and it's impossible to know kind of what nerves you've hit, and you've really just got to do the repetitiveness of the rehab and try to recreate those pathways.
Sam, just refresh everyone's memory. This happened about 7 months ago. It's a spinal injury. What is it exactly? Which joint is it that you hurt and that you damaged?
Yeah, so I broke my neck at C5, 6, and 7, but C6 basically was the one that paralyzed me, because that one displaced and hit my spinal cord. And I guess the positive out of any of that is that it's called an incomplete spinal cord injury. So I still have signal at the bottom of my spinal cord from the time of injury. Like, I could feel my toes, and that's why they operated instantly, basically. Now it's basically a very long process of trying to go around the damaged part of the spinal cord and recreate pathways of to try to basically get function of my legs. But
you're doing all the rehabilitation in the US, Sam, is that right? Are you planning on coming home at all to live and to continue on that, or are you staying in the USA?
Yeah, for right now I'm staying here. I've got quite a good system here with rehabilitation and some great people actually here in California with there's quite a few spinal cord injury facilities here, and so I'm working with a guy right now, Eric Harness, who actually comes to my house almost every day of the week, and we have got pretty much all the equipment we need at the house, and at doing rehab here. So for now, I'll be here probably through the end of the year to try to just make as much progress as I can, but I would like to return to Adelaide in the near future at some point, yeah.
Now, Sam, this weekend, this is great news. It's the Sam Willoughby fundraising game. Now, this is the Adelaide Crows taking on Port Adelaide in the SANFL. This is at Woodville Oval, Mourne Team Oval, on the weekend. And there's a special function, Sam. This is raising money. This is called the Strength for 91 function. What's the Strength for 91?
When I first got injured, I was in hospital, there was a BMX photographer. He just put something up on one of his social media pages, and he made a logo. My race number was 91.
Yep.
And he just made a logo and called it Strength for 91, and then from there it just kind of took off. Everyone was, you know, reposting it and whatever else, and showing a lot of support through that name. So they decided to call my foundation Through the Road to Recovery Strength for 91.
Well, if you want to help out Sam Willoughby, and the showdown is on this Saturday, Adelaide Crows v Port Adelaide. Tickets are $70. It's going to be a great area to watch the game, which will be a cracking game as well. And if you want to book tickets, you can email strength491merch@hotmail.com.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, before you leave us, Sam, I believe now your fiance, she's still riding and competing, I think I'm right in saying. She must be very mentally strong.
Yeah, no, she's very, very strong. She's been through a lot herself, and in the last few years, and continuing to race. And I mean, my accident was a freak accident. It was just one of those things that happened, you know, wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't just stop her or put the brakes on her career in any way. She's having a lot of success right now, and we try not to let it affect her in any way in that respect. But she's definitely been here for me, especially in these last few months with all the rehabilitation and traveling back and forth. And now, obviously, she's got her feet back on the ground and back into training, and hoping to do pretty well at the World Championship.
Well, you're inspiring us, Sam. You know, watching that video was awesome to see you making progress. And let's hope that, mate, that you can walk down the aisle at your wedding and make a great recovery. So, yeah, if people want to get involved, head to Woodville Oval this Saturday. It'll be a great day.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks for talking to us, mate, and good luck in the months to come.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you to everyone back there in Adelaide and for all the support that I've already given. And I hope that the footy's a great, great day this weekend.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Sam Willoughby. Sam. It's the fundraising match tomorrow. Sam Willoughby, our guest.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Well, I'm just doing a bit of research here in the background, Ruin.
What
surprised.
Are you researching?
All sorts of things
no,
for
I
this
bet
show.
You are.
New segment that we started a couple of weeks ago. Have we got the intro there? Please, Mel, the button, push it. No, we haven't.
Come yeah, we're disorganised. What are you talking about? Stop Come talking on. About bloody Port Adelaide tomorrow.
I couldn't help it. Gosh. Anyway, have we got it there? Here we go.
Please explain.
See, that was worth waiting for. Segment that I introduced.
Come on, you two.
I've got a question.
I've got a question. You're yesterday, your redhead, mate.
No, this is educational, this program. Yesterday we had the nutritional fella on about the new branding for food coming up.
Yes, we did.
And I learnt that the little yogurts that I eat all the time, the fruit ones, are chock-a-block full of sugar. Yeah. When they say diet.
Oh, you fat dits. Have a look at you.
Oh, thanks. Gee, kick me when I'm down. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this right now, Roo. This is where we're going with this. So, anyway,
what else have you discovered that's no good for you?
Right.
Other than anything that you don't want to find out about.
No, that's right. Push those, under the carpet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I left here yesterday, because I always have a skinny flat white. You know, this new coffee revolution. Everyone meets for coffees. And I go downstairs, I see Freddie at Canetto's.
Yeah.
Skinny flat white, please, Freddie. And as you know, we have them here all morning. He's lectured me. Good old Fred downstairs has lectured me about skim milk.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know this. It's no good.
Yeah, well...
Why is it skim milk then?
Well, it's skinny and fat.
Yeah.
Right.
I would have thought, therefore, less calories and it's meant to be a lot better for you. He said... Full of sugar. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I used to drink the old feel-good iced coffees when I drive back to Wakery. It's a little bit of something to do while you're in the car, but because it's 99% fat-free.
Yeah.
Full of sugar.
Oh, see, we're being sold a pup here, aren't we?
Come on, Dits.
Yeah. Oh. How's this segment going,
do you
think?
Please explain.
So is it true? Now, if a nutritionist can help me with it, I can't believe that the whole world sells skim milk and... about these? There's toned milk and all these different names they've got for it. And please tell me it is good for us, because Freddie downstairs is telling me...
The other thing that's not good for you, Dits, is flat white is all milk and just a shot of coffee. So you're having a lot of milk. And if you're having 3 or 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, flat whites a day, you're having well over a litre of milk, which is way more than what your body needs.
All right. If someone can explain this, I'd be happy to hear it. 133353. The other ones, I read about almond milk.
Nah.
How do you get milk out of almonds? How does that work?
Well, there's just a very, 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 very small amount of almond used in almond milk, I think.
Right. Soy milk. All of these different things. But I'm absolutely
just
stunned and shocked.
Full-blooded cow's
so
milk.
Full-blown. Yeah, but will it make me fat, though?
It will if you have 4 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
Of full cream milk that's, full of milk. If you have a long black with a little bit of milk, like you're probably used to with your instant coffees, it's not so bad.
Go back to the international roast. Is that what I need to do?
Oh, you can still have a long black, but just don't have so much milk in it.
Hmm. All right.
Please explain.
Full cream milk tastes beautiful after you haven't had it for a long time.
Mm. All right, I'm off for skim milk then.
All right, you're back.
Yep. Watch how much weight I lose. It's going to fall off now.
You might blow up a bit more.
Yeah. Triple M. 6:53. Now, I've got an answer to my question here, I think. Let's go to Mount Barker. Hello. Good morning, Nick. Tell me about milk.
I've just got a couple of suggestions for you.
Yeah.
He doesn't like getting told what to do, Nick.
Oh,
be careful. Very careful the way you put it across.
Just drink full cream milk. There's full cream's 4%, skim's 2%. It's really very little different.
Oh, it's minimal.
And I've always lived by the adage, never drink milk from anything that doesn't have a nipple. So forget your almond milk and your soy milk.
I can see Dits joining that one.
Yeah, right. So a bit of breast milk. Right.
Yep.
All right. No, thanks for that, Nick. I didn't realise there was such a small difference between full cream and skim. I would have thought it was huge. But anyway, that's good. That's good to know.
Yep.
You just read up a little bit about almond milk. What can you tell me?
It's mainly about 2% almonds in almond milk. The other 98% is pretty much water. So it's a bit of a scam, I think. And I hope I'm not offending anyone.
Bit of a scam.
Well, I don't know a lot about it. That's one website I've gone to. So hopefully it's an accurate one.
2%, and they're allowed to call it almond milk.
What does a kilo of almonds cost these days? Seriously, it's very expensive. Very expensive. So it'd take a lot of almonds to crush to get a litre of almond milk, wouldn't it?
You'd think so.
And all of a sudden you can buy that for a couple of bucks. Doesn't stack
right
up.
Righto, I'm on the full cream milk.
Get on
the
full cream.
Made a decision.
Cream.
There you go.
Get on the Furio milk. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, for me personally, this is all about me at the moment. This is very, very exciting. Belting around in my lounge room and all my mates' lounge rooms now parties, welcome to my night. nightmare back when we were kids in the 70s, and he's on his way. There's a concert tour. Alice Cooper, good morning.
And, you know, Welcome to My Nightmare finds its way into this show a little bit. There's a little touch of it in this show.
You think it'll sell out as quick as the tour 40 years ago?
I'll tell you what, that was, you know, the first time we ever came down there, it was before you could take a direct flight. So it would take a full, you know, 30 hours to get down there where you guys are. So it was, yeah, it's quite an experience to go. But you know what? The audiences were great. I mean, they were really great audiences.
We should point out what you were just saying there, Roo, that this is before electronic ticketing, obviously, Alice, but in 1977, your entire tour sold out in 5 hours. That is just phenomenal. It must have been absolute hysteria back then.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, and at the same time, you know, I mean, it was something new that nobody had ever seen. There was no internet then, so everybody was just, it was word of mouth and sort of urban legend about what Alice Cooper was. And I think everybody was curious to see it, and hopefully we fulfilled their nightmares.
And what about your special guest you're bringing along, Ace Frehley from Kiss?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've known Ace for a really long time. And, you know, I still do a lot of things with Kiss. We do a lot of charity things together. So, you know, getting Ace is a lot of fun. He'll be great.
Tell me, 40 years ago, you were touring Australia at the same time as ABBA, which is it's quite diverse to have you and ABBA here in Australia at the same time. Do you remember much about that? Because they were arguably the biggest act, or they were the biggest act in the world at the time. What was it like being in the country at the same time as them? Do you remember much about it?
Well, one of the funniest things that ever happened to me in my life was about ABBA. You know, I just woke up after, you know, being jet-lagged for 2 days. And I went out on the balcony, and there's thousands of kids down there. And they're all going, arr. And I thought they were saying Alice. You know? And I look up, and two stories above me in the balcony is ABBA. You know, and I realized we're saying ABBA. You know, so there's one guy down there with a top hat on going, Alice!
Brilliant.
Good stuff.
Hey, now, I want to ask you a little bit about the show. So what will we see this time? You just touched on Welcome to My Nightmare. What else will we see?
Oh, we got everything. We got the giant Frankenstein. We've got the, you know, we got the guillotine. We've got the snake. We've got the insane nurse. We've got the rag doll that does the ballet.
Brilliant.
For Only Women Bleed. I mean, every single song has got some sort of device to it. So it's a full-out Alice show. And on top of it, probably the best band I've ever worked with.
Is that right?
So this band is... I've got a 27-year-old guitar player named Hurricane Nita Strauss. She's like 27. She looks like a model, and she plays like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, what a combination. You mentioned Only Women Bleed. I've got to say, one of the most beautiful songs ever written, ever sung. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. I've never, ever quite known what this song is about. Can you explain it?
You know, the whole idea behind that song was that I wasn't trying to get away with something with the Only Women Bleed. I was saying that women bleed emotionally. Yep. Men don't. Men bleed physically. Women bleed emotionally. And that really what the song was about. And it was covered by Tina Turner, Etta James, Lita Ford. I mean, 15 different women covered that song. And still, it's one of the high points of the show, because when I do it, there's the ballet where the rag doll comes out of the toy box and does the ballet.
Yep.
And I can't tell you what happens to her after that, but it's not good.
Yeah. Alice, we cannot wait for you to come down here. By the way, we're still loving your show. Your radio show here in Adelaide is just going gangbusters. And I see where it's you syndicate
cities
to 100 cities around the world. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big tour. And, you know, by the way, an old friend of yours told me to say hi, Orianti.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Orianti was with me for 3 years. And she's working with Richie Sambora right now. But, you know, I told her that I was going to be going back to Adelaide. And she said, well, say hi to everybody for me. So, hi from Orianti.
Good on you. She's doing lots of things with Richie Sambora.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get into her personal life.
Hey, Alice, we can't wait to see you down here in October. And also, hey, mate, we're going to show you some really good golf courses when you're here too, all right? We got the best in the world, I can tell you that much.
I've played the Royal Adelaide, and it's great. I've been there, and you know what? We're going to be in the nice weather too, so it'll be really great.
Alice, thanks so much for talking to us. This is massive. It's the 40th anniversary tour of Australia. Alice Cooper and Ace Frehley in October.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast
on 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, something big, some breaking news here, Roo, right now.
Oh, we love Bernard Fanning.
And we've dragged in the man that can tell us all about it. This is the number one jock in Australia, Big Iron Hayden.
Oh, was that a big night last night?
Hey, you are.
Oh, thanks, mate. I genuinely appreciate it.
As voted on by Chris Dittmer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And my straw poll of one.
100% of people. No, thank you.
Mel the Button pushes on board. There's three of us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Oh, God, I feel the love. No, Bernard Fanning will be back. Now, we genuinely thought with this new single, oh, he's released another single off Civil Dusk, which was the album he released last year. It already had Reckless, which is an amazing song. The whole album's brilliant. Hmm. But this is coming off a new album out May 26 called Brutal Dawn. Now, given the name Civil Dusk, Brutal Dawn, we reckon it's kind of like a part one, part two thing.
Ooh, right.
We don't really know. And when it comes to iconic voices, you don't have to be a Powderfinger fan or a Bernard Fanning fan to know who's singing when you hear his voice pipe up. Mm. And that takes a hell of a lot to do and a hell of a lot to get right as well. And this new single, Isn't It a Pity? We're having a listen to it. And those vocals just bang, just come swinging.
See, this is why we've got you in here. This is no good Roo and I talking
about. There's no passion.
It's genuine. It is genuinely one of those moments when you first hear it. Upon first listen, and we know it's hard to hear songs for the first time because you don't really have a buy-in to it, but trust me, just let this song just unfold and sunrise and it will just bowl you over.
See? Yeah. See, Roo, I think
you've had the big night.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say something.
All the big morning.
Controversially. Now, Civil Dusk, you liked it.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
It's no Vulture Street. I mean,
yeah, Vulture Street, it's not just the best Powderfinger album that they did. It's one of the best Oz albums of the last 20 years. Mm. And it won, I don't know how many ARIA awards for whatever that's worth, but it won a ton. And the amount of singles off it's just, I mean, the only Powderfinger album that you will find better than that is Fingerprints, which is their best of double CD.
Right.
But yeah, this new Bernard Fanning single, though, Isn't It a Pity? It's on Brutal Dawn. It's out May 26th.
Let's ruin dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, I heard a really good story. Oh, this amused me anyway. Driving in this morning, early hours at 5 o'clock, I was flicking around the news and I was listening to the ABC News. And there's a story out of New Zealand which tickled my fancy. And I reckon there'd be a lot of people listening that have been down this path, have experienced this. But basically, there's a golf club in Christchurch in New Zealand, very snooty golf club.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been
most of them are.
Yeah, and they send out your big group emails all the time about events coming up or things that are happening.
Yep.
Anyway, there's a fella living in Canada who's got the same name as a member at this Christchurch golf club. And it turns out that their email addresses are almost exactly the same except for one character.
Right.
For one dot. And somehow he now gets all of the group emails from Christchurch
That's
Golf
annoying.
Club. And
That's
it's been
annoying.
Happening for a long time.
Very annoying.
So he's contacted the golf club and done the right thing and said, look, could you please take me off your email list?
Yep.
I'm sick of getting, I don't play golf, I'm not interested in golf.
I don't care about Ladies Day on Wednesday.
No, I'm sick of getting your, yeah, exactly, it's roast dinner, you know, on Sunday and rah-rah. Mm. Anyway, so they just ignored him. So what he did, he replied all. You know when you go on and you reply back to, so this is the whole membership. Very, I thought this was very creative. And he said, reply all. He said, Friday night, 8 o'clock, we're all meeting at the Swingers Club in Christchurch, right?
And there was such a place?
He had. He'd Googled it, looked it up, and there is a place. So this sent massive shockwaves through the Christchurch Golf Club because now all of these blokes at the club are answering to their wives. They're going, what is, darling, tell me about this Swingers Club that you're going to Friday night.
The Swingers Club were a bit surprised about the uptake in new members.
They did. But isn't that clear? And so my point being, if ever you want to get off an email list, here's one way to do it. So reply all and send back some shocking message. But yeah, and apparently so at this Christchurch Golf Club, it has caused a big uproar and people are all ringing each other and questioning each other and going, did you get that email about the Swingers Club Friday night?
I've never had so many blokes with long socks at the Swingers Club.
That's right. Hey, now 133353, have you done something similar or have you had a similar experience? Now, we've also got, it turned out we're talking about this morning, and a lad that we work with here, Sam, I'll just call him Sam.
Yeah.
He has sent back a reply all.
Four-letter word starting with F.
Yeah. Off. And the second word was off because he was getting, anyway, it turns out.
He thought
out,
he was talking to a computer or, you know,
yeah,
the automatic
he kept getting the same,
reply.
He thought it was automatic, but it was actually he sent it back to an entire department. who happens to be the best friend of our general manager here at Triple M.
Is this how you reply to people, is it, Sam?
Called, right. So James Pedersen's called this particular Sam in and said, yeah, is this how you reply to people on behalf of Triple M, is it? But anyway, if you've done something similar, I'd love to hear your story. 133353.
Your best reply all.
Have we got some footy tickets to give away?
I think we're out.
Are we out?
Have we got some?
Have we got some?
We'll check.
We might have.
We might.
So ring and we might.
If it's good enough, we'll give you some.
104.7 Triple M.
754. Okay, your best reply all email. Let's go to Banksia Park. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, yeah, Terry. Yeah, good.
Yeah, mine's a bit more old school than email, but I got on one of those Reader's Digest, the list where they send you letters every week and you win competitions.
Yeah.
So what I used to do was take the postage paid envelope that they used to send, put my junk mail in it, and then send it back.
Well done. I like that. That's good.
That's clever. Let's go to Banksia Park again. G'day, Kerry.
Actually, Terry's my partner. Hello, Terry.
Terry and Kerry.
Oh, you're kidding.
Terry and Kerry. You taking the mickey or are you serious?
No, I'm actually serious. I couldn't believe it. I actually thought you were asking me when you said Kerry.
Oh, your surname's
not... What's my husband doing on the phone?
Your surname's not Perry, is it?
He should be at work.
Yeah. What should you be doing?
I'm driving to work.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
Tell us your story.
Mine's a bit old school as well. It's the times of the answering machine, the home phone answering machine.
Yeah.
When I lived in Sydney and my phone number was very similar to the Podiatry Association.
I used to
get people ringing up, oh, can I make an appointment with my feet? Da 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 da. And so I actually had to leave a message. And I actually had an argument with a woman when I actually answered the phone and she said, I'd like to make an appointment. I said, but I'm not the Podiatry Association. She goes, yes, you are. That's the number I rang. I actually had to leave a message saying, hi, this is Kerry. Leave a message after the beep. And by the way, I am not the Podiatry Association. I cannot fix your feet. I don't even like feet.
good on you, Kerry.
They are a match made in heaven, those two.
What, Kerry and Terry?
Yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't read about it, would you?
No.
What's your last name? Perry.
Perry.
Yeah.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.